You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today for a monologue, and we'll be back with our normal guest next week, but I wanted to be able to talk about something that was really important. I've had a lot of questions about, and I think it's a really good topic for us to be able to discuss, and that is the topic of Hezbollah, a sort of thing that we see many of the civic nationalists, especially in Europe, but also here in the Tea Party and things like that. People always talk about how, of course, Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East, and all Muslims are the enemies of the nationalists. And that, plainly, just is not true. One of the most important things for us to be able to realize is in the struggle of nationalism versus globalism, that we have allies, both, of course, among our own people as we're fighting for our own self-interest and our own future, but also around the world, that there are peoples of different ethnicities and different religions that want to be able to have their own nations, want to have strong nations, strong families, and maintain the traditions that resist the call of globalism. Because, of course, as we all know, globalism wants to destroy everything. No matter what your religion is, no matter what your ethnicity is, of course, unless you're Jewish, or what your culture is, globalism wants to destroy that. Because the differences between cultures, the differences between ethnicities and religions and things like that, make up a people. And for globalism to succeed, they have to destroy all of these differences because they want to create a one-world government. They want a one-world market where there's nothing that stops them from being able to exploit people in a race to the bottom when it comes to wages and living standards. They want to have a world of consumers where there are no higher ideals. There's no connections between individuals and communities. They want to be able to dominate everything. And thus, they're waging a war against nationalists, wherever they are, no matter what their race is. Europeans, as we face the brunt of international Jewry when it comes to the forced migrations into our lands, the demographic changes, and the attacks culturally, we also need to be able to look that many of our comrades in the struggle against globalism are actively being bombed on a regular basis. They actively have to bury their sons and their daughters and their children through the Zionist aggression that they're handling. So this week is the anniversary of Liberation Day in Lebanon, which, of course, 16 years ago, the forces of Hezbollah and several Lebanese, actually explicitly National Socialist groups affiliated with Hezbollah, actually liberated South Lebanon that had been under occupation by the Zionists for a long time. And they said that we're not going to put up with this, that our people have a right to be free, that Israel has no right to take our lands, and we're going to stand up, we're going to fight back. And in a way, and we've talked about it on multiple shows before about paper tigers, everyone thinks that the Jews and their lackeys are unbeatable because they've got so much money, they've got so many resources, they've got the media, they've got all these different things, their international connections with the governments that they control. But Hezbollah showed us something very important, that when you have a strong enough nationalist movement, when you have the will of the people embodied into a political cause, then you can win, then you can be able to resist globalism, and you can actually force the enemy out of your lands. And that's what Hezbollah did 16 years ago. They're honoring today and all this week in Lebanon and actually around the Arab world, because it's extremely symbolic. Of course, we all know the Arab-Israeli War in 1967, that if it wasn't for the United States government, the Arab states would have been able to liberate Palestine. They would have been able to liberate their region. But the United States got involved, and I actually know a veteran that was in the Air Force and said that at his Air Force base here in the United States, they were loading planes every day and night, sending resources to Israel to help protect them. Israel is kind of like that runt of a kid that you have in elementary school that wants to pick a fight and then calls in his big brother who is then going to fight the fight for him. And in many ways, that's what the Israelis have done against the Arabs for a very, very long time. But this is a case, even with some American support, an Arab force was able to fight the Israelis on the field and actually defeat them. Sometime I'd like to be able to go to Lebanon, which I'll have to go to first if I ever want to go to the Holy Land, because, of course, Many of these Arab countries, if you have an Israeli stamp in your passport, even if you're just a Christian pilgrim going to the Holy Land, I want to see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre before I die and do a pilgrimage, they won't let you in. That is how strong their anti-Zionism goes, because the Zionist state is a terrorist state. Take all the other issues of the Jews and what they've done against Europeans to the side, and just consider what they've done to the various Arab peoples. When it comes to the blockades that they have on the Palestinians, stopping food and medicine and resources needed to run power generators out of the area, clean water, things like this, where people are dying, children are dying, simply because they want to be able to have an independent state, and the Israelis are committing a genocide. They've been committing genocides in the Middle East for a very long time, and they have no qualms when it comes to breaking international law. You know, things like white phosphorus are supposed to be banned, especially in use against civilians, but the International Red Cross actually had one of their aid stations bombed several years ago by white phosphorus, which of course is a fire that isn't put out by water, and it'll stick to you and just burn you to death, and one of the most horrific deaths you can have. And the Israelis are using these against civilians and even medical personnel. These are people that, of course, they say on Fox News all the time that, oh, the Palestinians are hiding rockets and things like that in schools and hospitals and apartment buildings. That's why we've got to blow them up. Well, of course, they're never there. Just because you have a member maybe of Hamas or some other group that lives in an apartment complex, that gives the Israelis a right in their minds to blow them up. And civilian casualties are irrelevant because, of course, in their worldview, non-Jews' lives just aren't really worth anything. We're cattle to be used. And the policies that they implement against us here in the West, they implement all the time against the Arabs in a true genocide, breaking every international law that they can find. Israel has been sanctioned by the United Nations more times than you can count. And of course, we went to war in Iraq, supposedly over Saddam Hussein's violations of a few UN declarations. But nothing ever happens to the Israelis because, of course, America always steps in to protect them because of the Zionist control through groups like AIPAC and Big Money, and of course our own lawmakers in many cases that have dual citizenship. And we have Jewish lawmakers that are dual citizens. They swear an oath to the United States and the people of the United States, but they have dual loyalties. And when the rubber meets the road, they always seem to pick their own ethnic community, and they always advocate for the Jews, even when they're committing horrific war crimes, even when they're starving kids, even when they're beating peaceful protesters. And of course, this is not just against Muslims, but against Christians. A document called Kairos Palestine was actually signed by the Christian churches of the Middle East denouncing the Zionist occupation as an affront to God because of the persecutions that they've levied against the people, both Muslim and Christian. But in the persecution specifically of churches, the Israelis have seized churches. The Israelis have been indiscriminate in their bombings of the churches in Palestine. And they frequently harass on the street IDF soldiers, normal Israelis, Christian clergy, spitting on them, sometimes even beating them or arresting them on false charges, and blocking clergy from being able to get through checkpoints to go and say services for Christian holy days. And on Sundays. And this is something that is happening all the time, where the Christian community, it's a huge thing, again, as we've talked about before. We're going to get into Hezbollah, but I want to give some background. You know, when we in the West, there's many people who are nationalists who, don't have a very positive view of Christianity sometimes because of the evangelical movement. And people need to realize the difference between traditional Christianity and the Christianity of the American megachurch. Are theologically, dogmatically, and for all practical purposes, they're so different, they aren't even the same religion. These evangelicals that worship the Israelis, they worship the Jews, they betray their Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East. They're the ones who are saying, we are being persecuted by the Zionist state. They are committing terrorism against our parishioners. They are terrorizing our church. They are persecuting. Several saints, actually. I was just reading about a Greek saint not too long ago. His name escapes me, but maybe someone can help me out in the comment section later. It was actually a monk that Israeli settlers went into this holy site, and they actually tried to get him to renounce his faith. He refused, and they beat him, and they eventually cut him into pieces because he was a Christian in the Holy Land. So this is where, for us in the West, again, it's the same idea of same enemy, same barricades. It's a phrase I really like. And an Italian nationalist group in the last Israeli incursion into Gaza actually did a poster with that, with a Celtic cross on it. but a Palestinian child throwing a rock at an Israeli tank, and you know, it said an Italian, same enemy, same barricades. And again, this idea of nationalism versus globalism, these people are willing to fight in the Middle East against the same Zionist enemy, the same globalist enemy, when they don't have anything. You know, the Palestinians don't have a military, they don't have an army, they don't have an air force, they don't have tanks. What they have is rocks, and they have resolve. So I know things can get hard here sometimes. You know, there can be persecutions. There's slander in the media. You can be attacked on the streets. But people have it worse fighting the same enemy that we're fighting, where they have been totally disarmed, but they're still willing to keep fighting, even if it's only with a rock in their hand. And the Israelis actually just made a rule that you can get 10 years in prison for throwing a rock at one of the chosen ones. So of course, there's no punishment for IDF soldiers that open fire on civilians and shoot women and children. But if you throw a rock in defense of your home, as they're destroying, you know, the Israelis have been destroying in Palestine these olive fields, some of which have been around since the time of Christ or before. That's the livelihood of the economy and of all these sorts of things that have been in families for thousands of years in some cases. The Israelis bulldoze them to build their settlements and their synagogues. And these people, even knowing that they could be shot and they could be killed, they could be hit with a drone strike, or they could even at the minimum be thrown in prison for 10 years, are still willing to pick rocks up in their hands to defend their land. And that's, of course, why, you know, I stand in solidarity, as we all should, with the Palestinian liberation efforts to fight against Zionism. But as I mentioned, the idea of the Palestinian resistance is they've been pretty much totally disarmed. Even the rockets and things they have are really no better than firecrackers, which of course the Israelis know, but they make it seem like a big deal in the American and Western media. As always, they're trying to defend their land. They're trying to defend their people against a force that is literally bulldozing them. They're bulldozing homes, they're bulldozing churches and mosques, and forcing families out of their land. And these illegal settlements that are even in violation of Israeli law are never prosecuted, and they can go into Palestinian land, evict at gunpoint the people that have lived there in some cases for millennia, and seize their land. So when the Palestinians resist, they're always met with overwhelming force, and thousands of them tragically die. And many children are facing malnutrition, poor medical care, life expectancy is down, and it's truly a people that's under siege, and has been under siege now for generations. So this brings us to Hezbollah, because as the Palestinians have been disarmed, the Lebanese people have not. And of course, Israel invaded South Lebanon, and their main purpose was to occupy it, as they're trying to form Greater Israel. They're not happy with the land they were given in 1948. They're not happy with the land they illegally seized in 1967. And they're looking to grow the Zionist state. They're looking to dominate the entire region. As they're trying to destroy our countries here for their globalist agenda, they're trying to extend their national boundaries throughout the entire Middle East. So the Lebanese were living under occupation. And again, there's a large Christian population there. And of course, Shia Muslims who are already, in many cases, our allies. As we see Bashar al-Assad in Syria and the other Ba'athist movements are majority Shia. That the Lebanese people decided that they need to be able to have an alternative. And that's where Hezbollah came from. So Hezbollah was created in 1985 in resistance to this, the idea that they needed to be able to have a movement for them. They're, of course, a Shia group, and they're based in Lebanon, but their main purpose is to be able to fight against Zionism, to be able to oppose the West. And just like we were talking about in some of our shows about Latin American nationalists who might fall under, you know, the banner, they might call themselves left-wing or things like that. And we're talking to Father Raphael about the definition of Western, that they're not opposed to us as a people. They're opposed to our government, and they call out the occupation of our government, that they know better than most of our people do, that we truly don't have sovereignty over our own lands. This foreign people that's oppressing them in the Middle East is oppressing us here because they control our politicians. So the purpose of Hezbollah was to be created to be a form of Arab National Socialism, to be anti-imperialist, anti-Zionist, and to be able to stand up and fight for the liberation of Lebanon and the liberation of the Middle East from the Zionist aggressors. The Israelis were in Lebanon since 1982. So this the creation of Hezbollah, in many cases, was a response to an illegal Israeli occupation, where they invaded this land and then occupied it until the year 2000. These people lived under direct military occupation by a foreign people and a foreign power for 18 years until the year 2000. So it was originally headed by a gentleman who was killed, of course, because the Israelis love to kill political leaders they disagree with. But Hassan Nasrallah is the current leader of Hezbollah. He's been the leader for decades now at this point. He is a very strong leader. He's a very strong nationalist. And he's very friendly to Christians. You know, one thing as I always love to bring up to people is Hezbollah gets a huge amount of support from the Christian population because they bring security. They promote a sort of national community. And they've created a state within a state. Hezbollah spends the majority of its money not on arms, but on school programs, on fire departments, on food for the poor, on all sorts of different social programs, healthcare, building roads, maintaining other forms of infrastructure, creating businesses. As Lebanon was dealing with a civil war, Hezbollah stepped in and was able to help the people, especially of South Lebanon, to be able to create a state within a state where their mission as nationalists was to care for their people. It wasn't about any of the bureaucrats or feuding political movements. Their main mission has always been to be able to fight for their people, and not just militarily, but to provide resources, the food, the clean water, the medicine, the education that they need to be strong. And it's a movement based on a national revitalization of their identity and their people. And they, of course, have been aligned with Iran. And Iran, again, is one of our biggest allies. I mean, there was a reason why I saw a funny Facebook meme that said it had a picture with dots for all the U.S. military bases in the Middle East. And it says, see, Iran obviously wants war. They put their country next to all of our military bases. Ever since the Western-backed government of Iran was removed from power and there was a nationalist revolution, the Iranians have been fighting against Zionism. They've been fighting against Western imperialism, that again is just a code word for Jewish imperialism. And the American government and the Zionist government want nothing more than to invade Iran, to destroy Iran, and then to occupy Iran and run it as a banana republic. And this is what they were trying to do in Lebanon. So the Iranian revolution is aligned with Hezbollah in a kind of a unified front, as are also, of course, both of those forces have been aiding President Bashar al-Assad in Syria. It's this United Arab Front that's a form of national socialism to be able to fight for the best interests of their people against all aggressors that are trying to destroy them. And they truly are being destroyed, in these wars. So the Arabs have united in a form of national socialism and solidarity with one another. Another good thing is Hassan Nasrallah, has talked about multiple times about the Jewish occupation of international mass media. And that's one of the reasons why Hezbollah has actually created radio stations, television stations, newspapers, book printing presses, and things like that, to be able to get the truth out there to their people, so that the media isn't controlled by internationalists. It's not controlled by foreign people that's warping their minds. They actually believe in having freedom when it comes to information and being able to publish the truth. So they really are a movement that is holistic in fighting for the best interests of their people. But what ended up happening is, going back to the idea of fighting against the Israelis, is Hezbollah was able to mobilize the Lebanese people in resistance to the occupation. So they came together and they began a very big struggle. And the Israelis, again, being paper tigers, ended up getting their butts kicked. I mean, there's no other way to say it. That in Lebanon, I really want to go and see this monument they have with all the captured Israeli helmets, with the bombed out Israeli tanks, and all these things like that, from their glorious victory of liberating their land, of liberating their people. And the Israelis, when push comes to shove, as we all know how Jews act, they're all big, they're all bluster. But they never actually want to bleed. They never actually want to fight for things. They want to get goys and pay them off and have them do the fighting and dying for them, which, of course, is what they've manipulated the United States federal government into doing, to sending our sons to die and to remove Saddam Hussein in Iraq, who should have been our ally, not our enemy, to be able to send our money and our blood to be able to promote their Zionist wars of aggression, that they don't want to fight and die and bleed. They want to have other people do it for them. And that's the way the Jews have been for a very long time. So this is a case where the rubber met the road, where the Jews actually had to fight for themselves. And it didn't go very well for them, that even though they have a subsidized military by the U.S. taxpayer, they've got the best U.S. military equipment that money can buy, basically given to them for free. All the gadgets, all the gizmos, as Hezbollah was fighting with relatively non-advanced weapons. They were fighting, though, with faith and a desire to be able to stand for their families and their folk. They were tired of the occupation, and that's why they were able to overcome these technologically superior foes with their resolve that, you know, that you cannot break a man that isn't willing to be broken. That's a resistance that people need to be able to understand, that if you decide right now, here in the West, for instance, that all the names that they can call you, all the attacks they can levy against you, even the physical attacks that could end with your own death, if that won't stop you, if you're willing to fight and you think that your people and your culture and your faith matter more than your own life, there's nothing they can do to you. And the Israelis, when they came up against that force, ended up having to skedaddle. They had to be able to flee because they couldn't stand against that. And under the leadership of Hassan Nasrallah, who was able to declare victory, that the Jews were fought on the field of battle and they were defeated. And that's something that even in the Second World War, that of course the forces of international Jewry defeated the nationalists temporarily. It was a setback for our cause. But this is one of the cases that should inspire us all around the entire world, that they can be defeated, that they are not invincible. All of their technology, all of their money, all of their media is not enough to beat us if we're willing to fight back. And it's actually a funny Hassan Nasrallah quote is, of course, after defeating the Jews, the United States government labeled Hezbollah a terrorist group. And Nasrallah said, "It is our pride that the great Satan, also known as the United States, and the head of despotism, corruption, and arrogance in modern times, considers us an enemy that should be listed in the terrorism list. It is our pride." And that's the sort of thing here in the West we need to know. When they call you a racist, when they call you a fascist, when they call you these names, when the enemy is trying to label you and attack you, take that as a badge of honor. You know, when we were called a hate group for the first time, with the White Student Union, and then, of course, the Traditionalist Worker Party and Traditionalist Youth Network, our youth wing, were labeled as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, and they had our symbols on their website saying these are symbols of racism and things like that. I took that as a badge of honor, because if the enemy is scared of you enough that they're willing to label you, they're willing to lie about you, they're going to attack you that much, that means they're frightened of something. If they're not taking us seriously, they're going to ignore us. They're not going to take us seriously. But Hezbollah, when they were labeled a terrorist group, took pride in that, just as we should take pride when these radical cultural Marxists label us as bigots and things like that, because we know what we really are. Our mission is to be able to secure a future for our faith and our family and our folk. We're, as nationalists, a movement based on love. We love our people. We love our culture. We love our families and love our children enough that we're willing to sacrifice everything we have, our money, our time, and even our lives, to build a better future for our children. This is a movement based on love. And if the Jews and their lackeys are going to lie about us, label us, that's a badge of honor, because that means we're doing something right. That means we're getting under their skin. That means we're making advances. And Hezbollah has just continued. After liberating Lebanon, as I said, they've been fighting with Bashar al-Assad really since the beginning of the Syrian civil war. And it provided a large number of men, military resources, and the people of Lebanon see the resistance. Hassan Nasrallah has talked about multiple times the fact that the war in Syria is not a civil war. It is not the Syrian people against their government. It is Zionism and the Western-backed mercenaries who are against Bashar al-Assad and fighting for the best interests of Zionism. That is what ISIS is. That's what these rebel groups are. They're CIA front groups trying to launch a revolution against the National Socialist State, which Ba'athism, under Bashar al-Assad, that is Arab National Socialism by all accounts. You know, when Hezbollah and the Syrian Arab Army and all these different Arab nationalist groups, they salute. They do it with an outstretched right hand. They do a Roman salute. They view themselves, and they are Arab National Socialists. And that is another reason why they can be such big allies to us, because ideologically, we in the West want to secure our own nation. We want to secure our future, and we want to oppose globalism. And these people want to do the exact same. Hezbollah is on the exact same page as us. They don't want to come and invade our lands. They're not the ones, their men are the ones standing and dying for their own homelands. They're not fleeing their region and coming to the West. They're giving their lives in sacrifice for their people. And that's why they're so universally hated. The Western governments, by Zionism, and of course us here in the United States by our government, because their people cannot be bought off. They've tried to destroy Hezbollah by killing their commanders, but the people just keep fighting back. They keep electing new leaders, and they continue the struggle. They've tried to launch sanctions against Lebanon and Hezbollah, and it hasn't worked because the people are engaged in a liberation struggle. They're fighting for their future. They're fighting for their people. As Nasrallah, I'll do one last quote from him, which I think is great, because he was asked on the idea of, well, you know, all this conflict in the Middle East, when will it end? And he said, there is no solution to the conflict in this region except with the disappearance of Israel, because the Zionist state is an occupation force. The Palestinian people have been stripped of their lands, and Zionism is naturally a growth-based thing. If the Jews just wanted to have their own land and for their families and their culture, and they were going to mind their own business, we wouldn't have a problem. But Zionism has always been about growth and about expanding and destroying other peoples and other cultures. It's just the entire globalist struggle in a microcosm. When we talk about allies, there's so many European nationalists that we need to be working with and need to stand in solidarity with. But we need to stand in solidarity with groups like Hezbollah, because they have similar economic views, similar social views, and they were able to overcome the religious divide here in the United States and the West. There's sometimes a divide between nationalists who are Christians or pagans or things like that. But Hezbollah has support of the Christian population of Lebanon. And of course, they are Shia Muslims, and they're all fighting for the interests of their people. They don't allow themselves to be divided on these petty differences when they're fighting for the future of their people. So there's a lot we can learn. As we kind of the end of our show, one of the things that I really want to say is their model of a state within a state is something as we as whites, especially in America, need to learn, that to be able to win the hearts and the minds of the people, the government is incompetent and doesn't care about us and purposefully gives us the cold shoulder. So if we can be able to provide the institutions, the educations, the school supplies, the food, the job training, the opportunities, and the pride in who we are, who our people are, and give them an idea of the future that we're fighting for, we can win the loyalty of the people. We can build this state within a state. And Hezbollah has done that in Lebanon. They're a great model for us to follow in the West when it comes to the social programs and the social organizing and providing for the needs of their people in mind, body, and soul. So there's a lot we can learn from them, and we always need to be standing in solidarity with all forces that are opposing globalism and especially Zionism. Because this enemy, as I've said multiple times, I'll say it a million times more, they want to destroy all of us. So we need to know that we are standing as, that we face the same enemy, so we stand on the same barricades to be able to fight so that each of our peoples can be free, each of our nations can be sovereign, and we can be able to work together in this goal, that we can't be divided on race or class or religion, because in the struggle against globalism and international Jewry, all of us are under attack, and that doesn't mean we break down our national borders or anything like that, but we work as comrades. Just on the Eastern Front, you had Muslims who were fighting next to Germans, who were fighting next to Slavs, where there were Catholics and Protestants and Orthodox and non-religious and folk religionists. All those people were able to fight in the 1940s against the same globalist enemy, and the time is coming now for round two. As the forces of globalism are trying to destroy every culture and community, nationalists need to be able to rise together. So I just want to end today by saying Happy Liberation Day to all of my comrades who are fighting in Lebanon. Stay strong in solidarity to the comrades in Palestine that are fighting for their people. And let us all begin to be able to organize together, to fight together, and be able to stand together. Because divided we fall, united we stand. And united, nationalism will defeat globalism, it'll defeat international Jewry, and we will be able to usher in a new age that is peaceful, prosperous, and where each of our nations and our cultures are able to grow and thrive in peace and prosperity. So, guys, I just wanted to say I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Go out, celebrate Liberation Day, and know that our enemies can be defeated, they will be defeated, and victory is ours. So I'll see you next week. It was a pleasure being with you here today, and I'll talk to you soon. Hail victory!
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.